Production support for Soundbites is made possible by listeners and by Coffee by Design, growing a business committed to community and sustainability locally and worldwide. CoffeeByDesign.com.
Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing, and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is brought to you by Frontier Studios and made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing Company, Frontier, The Press Hotel, Toad & Co., and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This week's stories were told live at Frontier in Brunswick, where the event's dedicated theme was ceremonious. Here's today's host, retired talent agent and current seven-time Moth Story Slam champion, Sandy Marks.
Next up. Now, when I met this guy, I just wanted to fold myself in his lap and just have him hold me. I don't know, there's something about him. You just want to be held by him. Okay, so please, everybody, Harold Cox.
I am glad to be in Maine today. But I'm originally from Texas. And the thing that you should know about Texans is that the one thing that we can do better and differently than anybody else is talk. We talk loud, we talk long, and we are confident about everything that we say and that we do. And these were the skills that I needed when I was working as a radio announcer at my college radio station. I was the radio announcer for a little classical music program. One night, I was doing my show, and I got a telephone call. Now, this was a little unusual, because my show was at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the only people that listened to the show were college students that were drunk, that were just coming in from being drunk, or going out and getting drunker. So I got this call from this guy who said, "Look, I've been listening to your show, and I really like what you're doing." I said, "Okay." He said, "Look, I work for a professional radio station in town, and we have a classical music program, and we invite new people to come in and host the show, and we want you to consider coming in and doing it." Now, I stopped listening to him, and I went inside of my own head, and I thought, I can leave graduate school. I am now going to be wealthy. I am going to be rich. I am going to be a radio announcer. I am going to be a radio personality. People are going to know me. I am going to be famous. Everybody is going to know who I am. And then I came back to him, and he was still talking about what he wanted me to do. And he said, "Look, I want you to come down to the radio station so we can talk about this." Fine, great. So the next day, I went to the station, and he said, again, he told me, "We run this little classical music program, and we want you to be one of our hosts. But before you are on the show, there are a couple of things that we want you to do. We want you to work with one of our radio announcers who will teach you some things about what it's like to be on the radio show." I said, "It's fine, good, I'll do that." So for 4 weeks, I worked with this guy who taught me a lot about using my voice, about the technical things about being on the station, a whole bunch of different kinds of things. And about a week and a half into this program and this training program, he said, "Look, there are a lot of things that you do that we really like, but there are a couple of things that you do that we don't do here." He said, "First of all, you say Debbie, as in the letter P-Q-R-S-T-U-V, Debbie, X-Y-Z." He said, "The call letters for our station, which is one of the NPR stations in town, is B-U-R. And what we don't say is Debbie, B-U-R." So he said, "You got to learn how to say it differently." That's fine. So I'll do that. You know, I said, "I'm from Texas." He said, "This is the way we say it there." He said, "That's not the way we say it here." So I learned how to say it. It's very hard to actually unlearn Debbie to become W, but I did it. The second thing he said is, "You really have good banter with your audience, and we like that, but there are a couple of things that you say sometimes that we don't really know what you're talking about." So for instance, you say, "This is not the only fish worth frying." And I said, well, you know, it has to do with opportunity. It's like you might have this fish, but there might be a whole bunch of other fish in the ocean you could fry. Or you have this opportunity to have a job, and there are other opportunities that you could have as well. He said, oh, yeah, that's cute. But we're not going to do that here. So that's fine. So I continue with my training, and then it's 45 seconds before I have to go on the air. 45 seconds, the sound technician said, let's do sound check. Everything was fine. 30 seconds before I went on the air, I remembered the thing that I have been practicing. It's the very first thing that I'm supposed to say. It's 90.9 WBUR. I have practiced it everywhere. I practice it when I wake up in the morning. I practice it when I get in the shower. I practice it when I drink my coffee. I practice it when I drive to work. I even practice it when I am answering the telephone. Hello, 90.9 WBUR. So I now know that I am ready. 15 seconds before I go on the air, I readjusted my chair, I put on my headset, everything is fine. And now the technician is giving me the countdown, 10, 9, 8, and it's my time to begin to speak. And then 3, 2, 1, and I said, nothing. Because for the first time in my Texas confident life, I am scared. I do not know what to say. I can't say anything at this particular moment. And the sound technician is doing gyrations, and he's saying, there's dead air, you gotta talk. I don't know what is dead air, but he says, you gotta talk. And so I was trying to make things come out of my mouth, and I was trying to force things out of my brain, and I finally got it out of my mouth, and it came out, and we stared at each other, and he said, just keep going, just keep going. So I thought, well, maybe what I should do is just introduce some music. That would be the thing I need to do. So I said, we are now going to have music by Aaron Copeland. I don't know who is Aaron Copeland. The man's name is Aaron Copeland. And I was trying to get it out. And I said, I said it again. And I said, the music will be called Rodeo. It's called Rodeo. It was just completely wrong. And so I am still trying to calm myself down. I thought, well, maybe the thing that I should do is I should just say, I know they don't want me to do this, but I should just say, this is not the only fish worth frying. And so when it was my time to start talking again, what I started by saying was, well, we're going to go out and catch a mess of fish. And we might cook that mess of fish in some canola oil, or maybe some vegetable oil, or maybe some butter. I do not know where this is coming from, but all I know is I have to just keep talking. So I just continued to talk, and it continued to get worse and worse. I pushed the wrong buttons on the station. I put the wrong music in. I said all of the wrong things. And then finally, 2 hours passed, and it was time for me to get up and go. So I pulled myself away from the console, and I ran outside, and as I opened the door, there were 5 or 6 people walking past, and I am absolutely convinced that what they said is, he is the one that was making a fool out of himself. They could not have known if it was me, even if they had been listening. I got home, and on my answering machine, there were messages from my friends that said, well, keep on trying. Well, indeed, the radio station did not invite me to come back and be on that radio station again. But over the years, I had many successes in my career. And the one thing that I learned is that that radio station, as good as they were then and as good as they are now, they are not the only fish worth frying.
All right, so let me just tell you a little bit about this amazing person who I adore. Harold Cox's daytime job is, you won't be surprised, he's a professor at Boston University. Makes sense, right? And his newest passion is storytelling, and this activity joins his other interests, which I don't know how these connect, but the three things he listed were canoeing, dog sledding, and knitting. So it's like you are the Rosie Greer of Boston, I guess, or something. But I am so impressed, and I love you, and thank you for sharing that story, because we have all had those days or nights or weeks or years where we don't know what the hell we're saying. So thank you.
If you want to know more about today's storyteller, well, you're in luck. Let's join our host backstage, now in conversation with today's teller.
Hi, Harold. So, Harold, what is your connection to Maine?
So I'm originally from Texas, and I live in Massachusetts now. And for many years, I come up to Maine during the summer to go to Camden to participate on one of the windjammers. So I go out on those windjammers every year.
Wow. Oh, my God. I'm jealous. Okay. And what got you into storytelling?
I guess, like lots of people, I have lots of stories. And last year, I took a class in storytelling. It was a lot of fun, and have been doing a number of the story slams and other events around the area since that time.
Wow, that's terrific. So how do you prepare for being on stage? What's your process?
I try not to be scared. I try to remember what's the first line. I keep telling myself that I'm not going to be nervous. I try to remember what the story's about, and then take a lot of deep breaths, and then just go for it.
That's good. And we always used to say, and I still say, always stick the landing. So you have to know where you start and where you're going to end. Tell us a little nugget or a detail that's connected to the story you're telling tonight, but it's not going to be in there. It didn't make the final cut.
So I think the one thing, my story is about being on the radio, and the thing that I learned about being on the radio is that you sit in a little tiny room and you talk to essentially nobody, but you're talking to everybody, and it's the most nerve-wracking experience in the whole world.
Thank you so much.
Soundbites is brought to you by Frontier Studios and made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing Company, Frontier, The Press Hotel, Toad & Co., and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to GWI and Downey's Pension Services. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, can be found online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainepublic.org. Thanks for listening.